nativedeodorant.com. If you use the code TRN, you can get 20% off your first order.
Scott, we've been partners with Native for a long time, and there's a lot of things that we talk about. We just love this product. It's good for you. It works. And we just like to share it with people that we know. One, because we want people to smell good, but two, we want them to be healthy.
My family has all, we've all converted to Native deodorant because it smells good and it works.
I've said before, when my daughter found out that I had Native, she goes, "Dad, I use that stuff too."
They have a no risk to try policy, free shipping on every order. And if you don't like what you're seeing, the effects, you don't like it within 30 days, you can return it and get a refund.
And they have over 9,000 five-star reviews. And when a user is that motivated to go give 5 stars for their deodorant, you know it works.
We just noticed that they are also making toothpaste. They have fluoride toothpaste and fluoride-free toothpaste. Give those a try.
Go to nativedeodorant.com and use promo code TRN at checkout for a 20% off your first purchase.
Feels.com, F-E-A-L-S.com. It's quality premium CBD delivered straight to your door.
Do you experience stress, have anxiety, chronic pain, or have trouble sleeping at least once a week? You're not alone. Many of us do, and you might know somebody that does.
I find that when I take Feels, it gives me that quality sleep that I need to recover and get ready for the stressful morning.
Feels is a premium CBD product delivered directly to your doorstep. You don't need to go out and try to find a place to buy it.
Here's how they differentiate themselves. They have real human support. You don't know a lot about CBD? Give them a call. They'll help you find out which dosage to take, how to take it. They're actually just very helpful to help you understand and feel comfortable.
And it's easy to take. Just put a few drops underneath your tongue and you could feel the difference within minutes.
You can get 50% off your first order with free shipping if you go to Feels, feals.com/TRN.
All right, we ready?
Yeah. Poor miserable me, I'm having cramps. And this person over here is flying by me.
Yeah.
You're recording this, aren't you, Freeman?
I get everything. All right, we ready?
Yeah.
Thanks for joining another edition of Trail Runner Nation. My name's Scott Warr.
And I'm Don Freeman.
Way, way back in May of 2012, we did a... jerk. We did a podcast with our good friend Jimmy Dean Freeman that talked about the way of the trail runner. It's a video that the SoCal Coyotes created called what was it called, Jimmy?
Called the Coyote Bushido.
Bushido. Tell us what the crap is a Bushido?
And welcome, Jimmy. Welcome.
Oh,
back.
Oh yeah. By the way, well, welcome. I'm just getting to business,
we've
man.
We've long since done away with the formalities here, guys.
We have. Yeah. Well, this is the 7th time we've recorded this podcast.
It feels like we're in the middle of it.
So, years ago, I was thinking about the nature of trail running and what set it apart from different sports and activities. And I had been studying the way of the samurai, and there was a very defined code that was a real throwback to not only a different time, but the samurai did things a little bit more rigorously than the rest of their society. And I thought it was an interesting examination, and I found a lot of parallels between the Bushido, which is the code of the samurai, and trail runners. So in a middle of the night, Jerry Maguire woke up in a cold sweat type of moment, I ran to my computer and I started clipping out what the 10 or what it came to be 11, I think, points of what it is to be a trail runner. And really at the heart of it is the word respect. Mm-hmm. It comes up over and over and over again. And the samurai were warriors, and they believed in a code of honor. And I feel like trail runners are today's warriors, especially people doing, you know, 50 and 100 mile mountain races, you're going into it knowing that you're going to suffer greatly, and you want to do so to the best of your ability and with honor.
Well, and we knew that this resonated with us and with our community nearly 8 years ago. And Don and I were on a run the other day, and we thought, I wonder if the Coyote Bushido or the Way of the Trail Runner still is relevant. And that's why we're sitting down with Jimmy.
Well, it's still relevant, but has it changed? Has it morphed? Has it stood the test of time, being 8 years? Let's
What's funny is the Bushido is this code of warriors from thousands of years ago. Has it survived 8 years? I don't know.
Things move fast these days, Jimmy.
So we swiped right on it a long time ago. So
Jimmy's hypothesis is yes.
Well, so that's at the beginning of the podcast. Let's talk through it and let's see if he's right.
We're going to try to do something interesting. We're going to play the video. We'll link the video, so if you want to watch the whole thing, you can go to the show notes and look at those. But we're going to play each segment and then comment on it.
And 8 years ago, this wouldn't have been possible for us to pull this off. And we may not even be able to pull it off today.
Eight days ago, this wasn't possible.
Oh, that's true. Okay. Point well taken, Jimmy.
I just threw away my 8-track. Okay, here we go. This is the beginning of the Bushido. Here we go.
The Coyote Bushido does not belong to the coyotes. In our years of trail running, we've discovered that there's an unwritten code, how to run, how to race, maybe even how to live your life.
Running should enhance your health, not tear you apart. Recovery is key. Always keep in mind, the point of doing this is to maximize your health, fitness, and well-being. If you're constantly pushing, never taking time for recovery, especially prepping for an ultra, you'll soon break down or burn out. Keep an eye on your energy levels, your health, and your physical well-being. Either we make time to self-maintain, or soon we'll be doing things we should have been doing all along while injured.
Okay, so that is really taking care of your body and doing it for health, not just for competition's sake, I guess.
And again, the theme of respecting your own health. First, you have to put yourself in the lead position of taking care of you before you can get out there on the trail and enjoy it. Jimmy, you wrote this darn thing.
The idea here is that a lot of us get so focused on race goals and accomplishing something this year, this month, or next month, that sometimes when the body doesn't cooperate with that plan, many have forged ahead. And, you know, we've all run a race sick as a dog. We've all tweaked or twisted something and thought to ourselves, we probably shouldn't keep going, whether it be a training run or race, and we've kept going. So this was just the baseline reminder that, you know, this activity is one that we got into to enhance our health. And while running 100 miles in a single day probably doesn't do that, the overall preparation for these types of events can have that in mind.
Yeah, but, you know, when you start, but when you start a 100-mile race, a 50-mile race, or, you know, 26.2, going into it with the idea of, I need to take care of this body for this next X number of hours, and looking at it from that perspective is really important, because that's how you stay within yourself. That's taking care of you regardless of what's out there. You need to take care of your food, your nutrition, and your electrolytes, fluids, and effort level to make this happen, to make that journey. You've got to put yourself in the lead position and really tune in and listen. And we can practice that during training periods, etc., just living life and being aware of what's happening below the neck. And when you're out there on a long race, you really need to dial into you, not the people around you, not your watch. You need to dial into you. And when you do that, that's the recipe for a good outcome.
You know, do you think that there, well, I should say, do you think, I know you think there are.
You don't know what he's thinking. Go ahead.
Do you think that there are runners out there that are focused so intently on racing or a race that they don't enjoy the journey and the process.
I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
I've coached 2,500 plus people, and you know, it's my job to shepherd and guide people towards, you know, my goal as a coach is as much training people to be fulfilled with whatever result comes up as it is to help them achieve the result that they're looking for. But, you know, we get to the end of these training cycles, and if the race doesn't go according to plan, sometimes there's a feeling that we've wasted our time. We've wasted half a year of our lives. So I know people have gotten on the other side of things and have felt that way. And I know people that frankly don't probably enjoy the journey on the way there, even if they do achieve the goal. So
that's a metaphor for life. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the second Bushido.
That was baseline. Now we're going to number one.
Running is truly a gift. Always strive to appreciate that you can move your body in an inspired, elegant, and amazing way. Even a bad run is still part of a great day more often than not. You're challenging yourself for your sport, and your body will react and respond and build you stronger. Running is one of the greatest representations of you get out what you put in.
You know, I love the statement in there that if you respect the run, your body will respond. I love that. How about you, Jimmy? Did you love that?
Maybe we should just go over some rules. Okay.
I was just letting it marinate. Those of you at home, I wanted to give you that moment to think about that.
There's a dramatic pause that makes you kind of contemplate, isn't there?
But then the rest of the people were looking at their phones or their whatever they're playing this on and going,
my battery's dead.
Let's stop. What happened?
I think that, you know, when we get very mindful, and this isn't a running paradigm at all, but when we get mindful of the activity that we're involved in, when we get focused on it and we let all of the other thoughts and all the other noise kind of fall aside, we're going to reap more benefit from that particular discipline, from that activity. So by tuning into the run, by focusing on the run, by respecting the run, we will be more engaged with what we're doing and we'll get more out of it. It's a way to extract more knowledge, more fitness, more endurance from what we're doing.
So in listening to the Bushido and listening to your comments, the thought that came to my mind is not all runs have to be PRs. They don't all have to be spectacular logbook entry, Strava posting events. Sometimes they just are what they are, and sometimes you slog through it, but there's still a lot to appreciate and enjoy from that. It's okay. It doesn't have to be your best run every single time. In fact, that's impossible.
Well, I think too that we've talked about the podcast for years that you need to be in the moment. And I think it's important that even on those training runs at 4 o'clock in the morning or whatever, you need to be in the moment and really enjoy the present of where you are and not just doing it because you're putting a log in the book, right?
Yeah, running is a sport that you can't coast. You know,
wait a minute. Let me get my pencil out.
You know, if you're on a bike and you do some hard work to get up to the top of a hill or a mountain, you hit the other side and there's a moment of being able to sort of relax and let the hard work carry you. Mm-hmm. Running downhill is harder than running uphill, technically speaking. And, you know, if we're engaged in that, we're going to, you know, lower our injury risk, but we're going to enjoy the activity a lot more. And I think that over the years, you know, we've all gotten lost at some point where we're so focused on an event or there's so much going on in our lives and we're having trouble fitting it in that we're not remembering how much the activity means to us. And we could always be reminded.
Yeah, so that makes me think that there really is a time to coast in our running sport. And here's how I'm going to put that spin on it. there, when we first started running, it was some labor, some effort, some pain, and maybe some disappointment of re-entering the running game that once was easier and now we're coming back. But if we look back to where we are at that moment and think back to the times that were more difficult, running can be smooth and easy and effortless at some point in that run. There's a nice coast. There's a nice look back. There's a nice pat on the back that I have journeyed up this hill. There is a nice view from here. Even if you're in the flatland, I'm running along pretty smooth. This feels pretty good. I think that's a good mental coast.
Spoiler alert.
Well, uh-oh.
there's another Bushido point that talks a little bit about that.
So I should have watched it first.
Okay, let's move on. Here we go.
Anyone and everyone who runs, hikes, walks, bikes, rides, etc., deserves our respect. Those who get out there and just do it. Doesn't matter the distance, speed, or frequency. On that day, you are an athlete, and we are humbled by you.
Well, I'm going to lead on that one, Scott, yeah, if it's all right. And that's really what I love about the community, whether you're on a podium or whether you're helping move the podium at the end of the day as you are one of the last ones in. This is really a sport that looks both directions in respect from the front and the back. And I just appreciate that so much.
We were just reviewing our coverage from last year's Western States streamcast that we did. And Andy Jones Wilkins is announcing the golden hour, those last couple runners. And as he gets to the finish line, there's more media and cameras on that last finisher than probably the one Jim Walmsley resetting his record. That's what I love about it.
Yeah, yeah. I liked his words. There's a scrum of reporters. Who does that? What sport does that?
That's a pretty good imitation.
Hey, thanks. I've been working on it.
What do you think, Jimmy?
Yeah, I think that this particular point is an illustration of how different our sport is, in the sense that what sport does someone running a race for the first time in their lives line up on the same starting line with someone who has competed in an Olympic running race and is at the top of their sport? You can't find a parallel anywhere else. There's, if you took a couple of tennis lessons, you're not going to get in place Serena, but if you sign up for a marathon and train for 6 months and the marathon's your first race ever, and you go run the Los Angeles Marathon or the Chicago Marathon or the New York City Marathon, you're on the same starting line, technically speaking, with Olympic class runners, professional runners. And I think that part of running being an every person sport, all you need to do is lace up a pair of shoes. You don't even need a pair of shoes, really. Mm-hmm. It makes it accessible. Anybody can run anywhere. You don't even have to have two legs. You can, people run and there's, I've heard someone who's able to run a 2-hour marathon is completely, in awe of somebody that can run for 5 hours, because that athlete's never run for 5 hours in their lives. And the person who hikes and runs and hikes and runs and it takes 6.5 hours to do a marathon can't believe that someone can cover the same distance in 3 hours. So there's a mutual respect, no matter what the talent or ability, no matter what the fitness level. I feel like you don't even have to have the same language. You're running side by side with someone. There's an understanding that we're all suffering and trying to make ourselves better. And it's both beautiful and ridiculous in that same vein, that there's just this commonality about it. And running it equals the playing field. It doesn't matter whether you make $1 billion a year or, you're in poverty. It doesn't matter if you are well-educated or haven't had that opportunity. It doesn't matter whether you're 70 years old or 17. Like, it's something that everybody can do, and we're all equal when we're doing it.
And I think that Scott Jurek and other elite racers have shown this through their actions, where, you know, the year Scott Jurek was winning Western States, he stuck around and watched those last runners because he respected those golden hour finishers.
So Scott and Jimmy, to your point, that I was thinking about this, and I think about it sometimes when I'm out on the trail, that this very trail that's out there is the same trail that has carried these runners, some of these big names, some of these amazing performances that stand the test of time in record books. We're sharing that same trail at that moment that they all this work was done. Kind of like when we were a kid, maybe a chance to step out on a professional football field or baseball field and kind of walking across it and thinking, this is a shrine to the sport. And being out there on these trails are really a shrine to our sport. And it's nice just to share it and be out there and collect that energy, the very trail that these elite athletes and records were set and stories are told. And then it makes me think back to not only those elite athletes, but all the hunters and gatherers for generations that go back. These trails were shared by many of our ancestors. And so it really is a place of respect, the hollow ground and the Finley Parks of our day. So
Finley Parks?
Finley Park.
Okay, yeah, here we go.
Baseball.
Madison Square Garden.
There you go.
You ready to go on? Here we go.
No matter where you live, you can always find amazing places to run. Be it a local park or a mountain, canyon or beach, Mother Earth deserves your deepest respect. She nurtures us, and we should honor this. It's not enough to simply not litter. Pick up anything you see while you're out there. We're using that trail, beach, or path to better ourselves. Let's leave them better too. Step up your game. It will feel really good, and you will inspire others to do the same.
That's a no-brainer. That one's been around for a long time. I think, you know, we do a very good job. If you go to a big race, you don't see cups laying on the ground. A lot of the races are going cupless too, aren't they?
They are.
And I think we do a good job of picking up after ourselves, maintaining the trails, going out there with chainsaws and making sure the trails are enjoyable and safe.
And the baseline tenet there is leave it better than you found it. And it doesn't have to be restricted to the trail itself, but the people you encounter out there. How do you leave your running partner better than you found them? How do you leave the stranger that you pass on the trail better than you found them?
And excuse me. And so that's one of the things that I respect about you, Jimmy, that I witnessed at Angeles Crest Run, that we were both running fairly well that day, and there was a runner that wasn't at that moment and was on the side of the trail, and you put that runner first. You just stopped and you set a great example to me as you sacrificed any of your own personal time to lend aid to that person, and that set a good example for me and one that I haven't forgotten. So I appreciate that. Thank you. All right.
Okay, here we go.
Whether it was 28 years ago or 28 days ago, remember how far you've come. Try not to waste time wishing you were better, faster, or more fit than another time or period in your life. Work to be better now. There was a time you might have found running difficult, laborious, or even punishment, but now you can enjoy yourself, have fun, and improve your mindful remembrance.
Boy, I played that card too early, didn't I?
Why did you put that one in there, Jimmy? Remember where you came from.
Well, I think, you know, this catches up to all of us when you've been doing it for a while. And especially those of us that, you know, you run a bit in your 20s or 30s or 40s, and then you get to a point where you're still doing it, but at least at most of the distance that you race at, your PR days are behind you. And you can get very frustrated looking at your watch and doing a particular run that you know and thinking to yourself, I remember when I did this in 7:45 pace and now I'm at 9:15 pace. And I think that, you know, when we're in that comparative analysis paradigm, we're always comparing ourselves to be less than someone else, less than ourselves at a different period. Mm. And the idea is to get focused on that we're improving now, not on that we aren't as fast or aren't as fit as a different period of time. And this is one that honestly I could use right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm probably running, you know, an average of 10, 15 miles a week. I'll get a long run every 2 weeks, and the long run's 10, 20 miles. And I'm hitting the gym more and I'm stronger than I was in other ways. But when I look at the running splits and the times, they're not there. And so there are times in my life that I was completely unfit, that I wasn't running, I wasn't working out, I wasn't doing anything. And if I compare myself to those times, I'm in phenomenal shape. And there's a different feeling associated with those two different comparisons. So the idea behind this one is to reframe the comparison. We're going to compare. That's what we do. We analyze, we label, we cross-reference. That's what our brain does. So can you take that analyzation, that comparison, and make it work for you, make it empowering?
Good point. I'm going to repeat something that certainly I didn't come up with, and the person that I heard it from probably didn't come up with it themselves either. And that is, comparison is the thief of joy.
Mm. Teddy Roosevelt.
Is that right? Well, so he heard that from somebody else. I think the barber down the street.
His aide.
Yeah, somebody wrote that for him in a speech.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Number five. What I'm finding with this, the trail runner's way so far, we're 4 points in, or actually 5 points in. Sounds like it's standing the test of time. Let's keep going.
Much of an athlete's success is determined prior to their workouts beginning. Never begrudge someone else the hard work they did to improve. Measure yourself against yourself and be generous with that measurement. Glass half full.
Hey, I really think we have to do that. I think as a group, we've accomplished that. Let's give ourselves credit, because we're not all standing on the podium, but we all get out there and slug it out, and we all smile at the end of a race because we're satisfied with our personal accomplishment. There are smiles that come through at the front end of the pack, the mid pack, and the back of the pack. Everybody's smiling because they did it. They accomplished it, and they weren't comparing themselves to the front of the pack and the people that finished in half the time that they did. I think we do pretty well at that. I'm gonna give us 5 stars on that one. Jimmy Dean?
5 out of 5?
But yeah, that's okay. Not out of 100.
Yeah, I find that this, depending on how competitive the individual athlete is and how well the A race goes, I find different versions of this. And this one was really about, like, if we get outside of ourselves and worry about everybody else, we're not going to be doing the best things for ourselves physically or psychologically. So it was just another, you know, reminder that if we can stay focused on our task, our instrument, our mindset, that everything else will fall into place and be a lot more fulfilling.
Hey, let me throw this around the table. I don't have the answer, but I'm really interested in what you guys, your comments. Mid-race, things all of a sudden, you're on plan C, not plan B. And what do you do to physically get yourself back into that positive space? How do you bring your mind back to accepting the day and moving through it without using energy and creating frustration to further sabotage your day? Because a lot of races turn around. You can be mid-race and end up with your PR at the very end if you manage it properly. You keep your head clear to solve the problem, keep your head clear to pull yourself out of that hole and get back on track. So I don't know if there's a question in there or not, but yeah, there's my question. Well, what do you do then in that mid-race? How do you handle that?
I'll equate it to the topic, or the point that we just went, is don't compare yourself. If you're having a bad time and you see people flying by you, don't compare yourself to them. You're on your own journey. and you need to problem solve the problems that you are having at that point. Don't compare yourselves and think, well, how come poor, miserable me, I'm having cramps, and this person over here is flying by me. I think that that's where you start getting into the self-deprecating cycle, where you're just saying, I'm not good enough, I can't do like they can do. And so you need to get, I think you just need to realize this is your race. You're a different individual, and solve the problems that you're dealing with at that point.
Scott, I'm listening very closely for new intro clips, and the one about you whining there, that might show up. Go ahead, Jimmy.
All of us who've run really long races, marathon and beyond, we've all thrown ourselves a fantastic pity party at one point or another.
Oh, yeah.
And I've had races that I didn't even make it to the halfway stage, and I was like, F this, I'm done. And I've had a couple of races in recent memory where the race itself, technically speaking, did not go that well, but my mindset and my outlook and my attitude was absolutely impenetrable. Cascade Crest a couple of years ago, I got into a really good flow, and I completely forgot to eat for about 90 minutes to 2 hours. And I was so in the moment with the running that I was like, oh yeah, I forgot to eat for like 2 hours.
I don't need to eat.
And so I blood sugar crash. I sit down on a rock, and a guy that I didn't even know if he was in the race or not goes jogging by. And I had been talking to a couple of PCT through hikers because they were on that section of the trail in Washington, in August. And this guy goes, hey, you know, maybe 100-miling isn't for you. And it was just total stranger to me. And the one of the hikers looked at me. It's like, what just happened? Why would he, do you know him? And I smiled because I was in a really great place. I was bonking, but there was no conversation about it being a failure in the overall race scheme. It was just a failure to eat for a couple hours, and I was going to get my calories back in line and get back on the trail. Well, I was 6 miles from the 50-mile turnaround at this race, and in this particular year at Cascade Crest, it was an out and back due to some wildfires. And I picked up a pacer, and it was a person that I didn't really know that well that had volunteered. He was a local and had run the race before. So we start running. And of course, somewhere between mile 70 and 85, who do we catch up with but the guy who tossed the comment at me. And I had told my pacer what had happened, and he almost didn't believe it. And we, through no accident in the universe, this guy was by himself sitting on a rock in the middle of the night and clearly having a low moment. And we stopped, and I was like, hey, man, are you all right? And he's like, yeah, I'm just, you know, struggling a little bit. And I was like, well, you know, do you have the food that you need? Do you have caffeine? Do you need a salt pill? What do you need? I've got tons of extra stuff here. And while it would have felt really good on one level to say, hey, maybe 100-miling isn't for you. And I definitely had that impulse and I thought about it, but on the way out, it felt better to help somebody.
Right.
Cause in that moment I was in a good place, and these races are a lot more fun when you have a shared experience where you can kind of help each other through. And he didn't have a pacer. Running through the middle of the night in a 100-mile race when you have a low moment is rough. I try not to do these things without pacers, and you know, I definitely always put it out there if I can find somebody. And got to the end of the race, finished, felt really good about the day. And I heard his name announced because my pacer knew who the guy was. And, you know, so when I heard the name called, I went out to greet him and high five him and congratulate him on that particular finish. And, you know, we both had shared something, and it was a unique experience because, you know, he's one of those guys that likes to razz people. And I'm one of those guys too. I just don't traditionally do it to strangers in the middle of a 100-mile race. but I might've done it to a buddy, just to mess with them. But, you know, it's interesting because I didn't take on any, you know, self-doubt or frustration from the way that things were going that day. Now, I certainly have in many of my other races. So the idea is, you know, can you take the crisis and flip it quickly?
You know, I like your point that you feel better about yourself by creating experiences, by helping people, than stepping on their heads as you pass them. I like that.
And Jimmy, as you were sitting on that rock, I was thinking, this is one of Jimmy's hallucinations. You know, a guy comes running by, has a full conversation with them, but then that you saw him at the very end, I kind of gave a little more credibility to your story.
I have hallucinated many, many times. This was an impressive hallucination that had four parts to it. So it's, yes. I'm not ruling it out. I'm not ruling it out.
That's next level stuff, Jimmy.
You know, here, this next one actually is a very good transition. Here we go.
Commit yourself to having an impact in the lives of others, runners and non-runners alike. Running doesn't just improve you physically, it improves your physical health, well-being, vitality, and mentality. Reinvest that energy in others by inspiring them to take up a physical activity. If they hate running or don't run, invite them to give it another shot with new perspectives. 99% of us loved to run when we were children. Don't run in the hall, house, or around the pool. Parents and adults were demanding we ran less back then. Somewhere we took a wrong turn. If you found your way back to that joy or never lost it, spread the love. Even if you only inspire one in every 10 people, that one drop in the pond will send shockwaves through their lives and those around them. It's worth it.
Jimmy, why don't you lead with this one?
Got nothing to say.
Yep.
Well, I mean, that particular point was an elegant point. The idea is when we're running and when we're participating in this activity, the best version of ourselves is often coming through. And when we're in that place, being our best selves, we can inspire, infect, influence others to make positive changes as well. And it doesn't have to be getting everybody to run. You know, my passion for running has led to people finding a new sport altogether. I know people have gotten into rock climbing and have gone back to take dance classes after a decade or more of not doing it. So the idea is, if you're improving yourself, but you're keeping it to yourself, you're kind of ripping the world off. And, you know, I run these things to be a better version of myself so that, you know, so the world gets a better version of me. But now, you know, it's taken on a deeper context because I have two kids and I want my kids to have the best version of me. And that's sometimes challenging to get to.
And to your credit, Jimmy Dean, coming into aid stations, I've seen you with the largest smile, giving high fives to people that are half your height, younger kids, and it's fun to see you spread that joy, even though that I know deep in your core, there's some struggle going on because you just came out of a very hot canyon, but still big smiles, and I think that spreads joy to volunteers and aid station workers and all of the people. So that's good stuff.
I have a strange physical flaw that a lot of people don't know about, which is when I'm in a significant amount of pain, my wince looks exactly like some people smile.
That explains it.
There's been a number of times where like, he just smiles the whole race. And it's undiscernible when I'm smiling or wincing. They look exactly the same.
I wonder right now if he's wincing or smiling during this podcast.
Wincing.
Hey, you know, the one thing I was going to say is the joy bucket is not finite. So it's not like, I only have so much joy that I can share. And so I'm going to reserve it. I'm going to pace my giving away of that joy. It's actually the opposite. The more you give away, the more you receive. And so that bucket grows the more you give it away.
Let's go to the next.
That's philosophical.
That's deep.
I know. Scott. I think we should comment we'll on make it how t-shirt. Great of a comment that was. Okay, here we go. We can make a t-shirt.
You never know which run or race will be your last. Don't take this for granted. It's one thing to take an easy run on a tough week. It's another thing altogether to just run because your training schedule says so. Don't lose sight of the simple yet profound thing that we do and how much we miss it when it's not available as an option.
Ooh, I just want to lead with sometimes it's okay to walk out there. You know, enjoy your workout, enjoy your run. Sometimes, I'm giving permission to myself here, sometimes it's okay just to back off and enjoy it instead of always grinding. It's life's short. Suck it in, enjoy it, and love it.
Can you give me permission for tomorrow to do that?
Yeah. I've gotten a lot more into hiking lately and definitely some of the climbs that I would normally intentionally suffer grinding up.
I remember some of your advice, Jimmy, of don't remember to practice your hiking because you're going to be hiking on a race. Be sure to hike in training. So I think that's another permission point that I said. Jimmy said to hike some of these things, so I feel good about it. So thanks for that.
And this all-in philosophy doesn't mean just running. It could also mean going out there and doing some trail maintenance. It could mean going out there and volunteering to be in an aid station or load a truck up with supplies or with ice. The all-in means you are part of the community and you need to contribute.
Or pick up your socks off the bedroom floor.
Okay.
I don't know what that meant. I'm going to make a t-shirt. Go ahead.
Here we go. I love this next one.
If you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong. It's better to sacrifice performance goals than it is to sacrifice the enjoyment of running. Yes, it's fun to improve, but if you make it to the end of a long training program, fall short at a race, and have the feeling, I just wasted 4 to 5 months of my life or more, you ripped yourself off in oh so many ways. Start with a fun attitude of gratitude, and the race results will follow. No, it won't happen overnight. If you want that kind of success, you're in the wrong sport.
Okay, if I can stop it, I want you to think of who is, in your mind, a person that you can think of that just has a fun time running. Who can you think of?
Bill Carr.
He does.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking of Bill Carr.
Were you really?
And a little bit of Charlie Jones. Charlie Jones never takes himself too seriously.
So a couple of local runners, unfair to anybody that's downloading and listening outside of our area, but Bill Carr has a wonderful enthusiasm for the sport. Always smiling, having fun, and
chatting it up,
regardless of how his day is going. He's just happy.
Do you want to know who somebody else who everybody knows that has this, that has that same quality?
Tim Tweetmeyer.
Courtney DeWalter.
Ah,
I mean, she is always smiling. I think that if she had a choice of whether she was going to podium or have a smile on her face, she'd rather have a smile on her face.
I've seen her.
And usually it's both.
There you go. So, Jimmy, we were just dropping some names around here. Let me finish with Charlie Jones. Charlie Jones, some people you come across that you just can't wait to say hello to, and that's one of them for a number of reasons.
He just puts a smile on my face when I see him in his little beanie.
I love it, the fact that he refers to himself as Charlie Jones. Third person stuff. Charlie Jones likes that.
So, Jimmy, we were just recounting. Who do you know that just has fun
and
running?
Enthusiastic attitude.
So name one person that you would just want to spend 100 miles with because it would just be fun.
Present company excluded.
Yeah, excluded, of course.
There's a buddy of mine named Lucas, who's one of my favorite guys to run with because he's either having fun or you're having fun at his expense.
I like Lucas.
Yeah. In fact, the year that you guys were hosting a aid station checkpoint at Rio del Lago,
yeah,
when I came in and you guys thought I chugged a beer and threw up.
Yeah.
that year, Lucas was my training partner getting ready for that race, and he actually won that race. Oh. So he got first in his first 100 miler, and I got second chasing after him. But we were having a great time when we were together in the training program, and he's someone that he can be very fun, and he can also be very serious. And when he's being very serious, you're laughing your ass off.
Jimmy, that'll teach you to invite him to that race.
Well, there's more story to it. We had done our training races together as well. And in almost every race that we did, we had this really gnarly trail half marathon. We ran Miwok. We would be together for like 30% of the race. And then he would go ahead when I was starting to have some fatigue or some stomach difficulty. And then I would catch up to him with like 10% of the race left to go, and I'd bury him. So at Rio, all of those first elements of the race took place. We were together, and then he took off, and then I started to close the gap. And what's funny is I didn't have any intention of catching and passing him at that race. I wanted to run with him, and I was closing in on him and the meat grinder and doing everything I could to catch him. And his pacers were like, don't let him catch and pass you again. Don't let him catch. So he just ran the whole last section of the race thinking that I was going to stalk him and hunt him down. And I was just trying to run with him.
That is one of the cool attitudes. I think that there's many out there that just have fun. It actually motivates me to show that and have more fun.
Well, you can do that tomorrow, Scott, when you put that bib on. You're running a race tomorrow.
Okay, here we go. Next one. Let's not talk about that.
To Pedro, it means to run your fastest 5K of the race in the very last 5K of that race of any distance. No matter how deep you dig, there's always more you can give. When you're close to the finish, line it up and knock it out. Go for it. Get it done. The one exception to this is when you've spent more than 50% of that race running alongside someone, teammate or otherwise. Thou shalt not drop the hammer on partnership at the very end. If you're running for position or wish to beat one teammate in particular, you agree to leave them prior to the last 20% of that race. For example, in a 50-mile race in the last 10 miles.
There's a lot of details in that one. You got to explain that one, Jimmy.
So there's two different elements to the Pedroing it. One element is no matter how tired we are, the common expression or cliche is smelling the barn. You know, when you get close, you can be tired, you can be semi-injured, you can find a gear to finish it out. Mm-hmm. And this boy, Pedro, on our team, took it to the next level. And he had two goals in his longer races. One goal was that his final 5K split was faster than any other 5K in the race. And his second goal was to drop whoever was pacing him. And it was just a game that Pedro played, and his pacers knew it. And it was very funny to see at, you know, Javelina or Western States to have someone that would be with him knowing that he was going to try to like lose them. And it was something to focus on that made it fun for Pedro, made it fun for the people that got involved. And the reason there's two elements to it is sometimes we create what I call a pain partnership. When you're running with someone in a race and you might not be exactly the same ability, but you're hiking and running and kind of helping each other get through tough moments. And when you're having a tough moment and someone helps you through that moment, and then they're having a tough moment and you help them through that moment, and it kind of goes back and forth, and you spend, most of the race together, the last thing you need to do is like race them at the end. The last thing you need to do is just drop them like an ex-girlfriend. So that's the second piece of it, which is to say, if you're spending more than half the race with somebody, don't make it about who can run faster at the end, unless you both, you know, have that sort of agreement.
Right.
But then the other element is, you know, in the race, you know, it's, you get to sit down and rest when it's done, you know, finish strong, close it out.
Have you ever had an experience that like that? I remember early in my racing career where that happened. And to your point, Jimmy, I think that there needs to be expectations set before you start before the gun goes off at the beginning of the race. But this person I trained with a lot and raced probably 70% of the race with, and
you're not talking about me, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
And then I had a tough spell, and there was no words. It was gone. And I had a bad taste in my mouth about that for a long time.
I've experienced more of the discussion. Hey, we're finishing together, right?
Right.
You know, yep. Let's do this together. Come yep. on, let's keep up with me, Don.
Yeah.
Not everyone is going to articulate this, and I think also this is more meant to cover a complete stranger. You know, you're at Leadville and you're at mile 70 and you fall in step with someone that you hadn't planned to run with, that you didn't know, and you kind of get each other's stories. And, you know, yes, discussion at that point can happen, but the idea is, unless you're fighting, you know, a sub 24 hour or
mm-hmm. right.
big buckle or the absolute finishing cutoff, there's no reason to dust somebody in certain scenarios.
Point well stated. If it's a 20, if it's a silver or a bronze buckle, something like that,
or the cut 20, off. Yeah.
That's an agreement that needs to be made as well, that hey, you know, you go after it. If you truly are a trail brother or sister, you want that person to gather that buckle up. You want them to encourage them to get out there. You go after, go get it for me, because had I had a better day, I want to see that I could have done that, because you're in my physical ability. Go do it for me so I have that satisfaction that it's possible.
And usually demanded by the person that is getting left behind.
100%. I'll just sit on this rock.
Dude, go. Take it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
hey, but before we move on, it brings up the topic to me, or the thought that, boy, look at the friendships that you can make from a total stranger at that start line. And through that journey, you become very, very good friends, very tight partners and colleagues and comrades on a race. It's amazing how quick and those bonds are created. I really enjoyed that. I can think back to conversations and people that I've met mid-race that I can still remember today. And man, they're just, I consider them, you know, high on a friend list, even though we don't spend Thanksgiving together or send cards or whatever. What year is this? 1950? Send cards.
And it can easily happen. It doesn't have to be a race. I mean, we were just out on a run, you and I, Don, and we ran into Taylor, right? Or was it Tyler?
It was Tyler.
Yeah. Tyler. And we had a nice discussion. Brings me back to one of our friends, Jeff, who every time I ran with him, if we came across somebody, we slowed down and he had a discussion with them.
I think,
what are you doing? What race are you training for? You know, and sometimes it was a little bothersome, but I loved it. I loved it. He's a good example. Okay.
Scott likes being bothered.
And Jeff liked to slow down.
Yeah. Here we go. Musical interlude.
Yeah. It's important.
When it comes to a run or race, there will be good, bad, and ugly days. You are part of a team, especially when you don the Coyote jersey. Represent yourself as you'd want your teammates to represent you, especially when you have a bad day. The great thing about failing when part of a team is you get to celebrate the success of your partners in crime instead of wallowing in self-pity. Even when you go to a race and you are a Coyote Pack of One, we are globally recognized. Thank you, Facebook and Twitter. And you represent us all. Make us proud, especially when your performance isn't what you had hoped.
The Coyote Yell. I was out again to reference that the Angeles Crest Run, because that's down in Southern California, Coyote area. And you guys put out that shout, that Coyote Yell, that resonates throughout the canyons and connects all of your runners in front and behind. And it was empowering, even to be a visiting Northern California runner. I felt like I was part of the SoCal tribe down there. And, you know, I think that's what I take away when I hear those comments. You want to give us a demo of that, Jimmy?
There's always a greater sense of community, right? There's the group that you run with. There's the region that you run in. There's the state. You know, there's a way to find that community, and you're a representative of it. If you walk away from a trail race and you're at a coffee shop bitching about something, and someone who has no involvement with our sport or our community sees you throwing a fit, then that's their association for trail runners or ultra runners or whatever it may be. So the idea is, you know, when you're a part of a group, when you're a part of a broader association, you represent yourself in a way that other people would be proud to be associated with you.
And never, ever, ever, there's three evers, take it out on a volunteer or a race director. They are giving this from their heart. They're giving it from their own personal time that they could be sharing it with someone else. They're giving that to you. It would be very, very rude to not be nice and appreciative to those people. It's sometimes hard to do when you're in the middle of your misery. But remember, these people are out there really supporting you and doing everything they can for you.
I lost it on a volunteer once over Pepsi.
Was it worth it?
Every aid station had Coke, and they tried to offer me Pepsi, and I was in a weak moment, and I lost my mind.
Hey, that's understandable. Jimmy, you get a pass on that. I give that one to you.
I did seek this person out later and apologize, and they actually had a pretty good laugh about it, but they were not happy with me at that moment.
I think the intention of a runner is to be nice and kind and grateful. But there are certain times in longer races where you're not in your right mind. That's true. I think that the volunteers, the race directors know that. But I think it's also equally important that afterwards, like you said, you gotta make restitution.
Yeah.
And you know, there's points that we're not in our right mind, like when we sign up for these damn races.
You know what? That was my thought too, Jimmy. I thought, yeah, it happens during a race, but when other time did it happen?
When you got the credit card out.
I haven't signed up for one of these races in a year and a half, and I've never been more sane.
Let me send you a link, Jimmy.
It's actually already happening. I'm throwing my name in the hat for the Leona Divide 100K.
Oh, nice. Sweet, sweet. Okay, here we go. Next one.
The Coyote Bushido is not the way of the coyote in the sense that this is something that we came up with or invented. This was more a process of discovery. We don't believe it to be comprehensive, but a good representative sample of the attitude and general nature of trail runners. Let us know what you think.
Very well produced, Jimmy.
And I encourage people to find Scott's show notes and click on the link, because the visuals are as good as the audio. I mean, great shots and great coyotes that are sharing each part of this message. And I love that you did that, Jimmy. You didn't take the full voice of this entire Bushido. You spread it throughout the community, which is a powerful statement to who the coyotes are and what the trail running community is. We all share in this. So I would encourage you to click on the link and enjoy the video and see some of the faces behind the voices.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I would throw it around the table. I think that all these points are still valid. I like that point that you made, Jimmy, that it's not comprehensive and you didn't come up with them. These are tenets that have existed in trail running for as long as trail running's been around, that you just put a voice to the tenets.
We named a couple, like Pedroing It.
Yeah, you know, I thought when I read Pedroing It, I was really thinking of Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
I was trying to bring in Pedro to this statement, so I'm glad you cleared it up.
Am I supposed to shave my head when I get hot? What does Pedroing mean?
The funny thing about this particular athlete is his name is Pedro Martinez, which is the name of a very famous pitcher from Major League Baseball. So he gets both the Napoleon Dynamite references and the Pedro Martinez baseball player references.
So let me ask you, Jimmy, since you created it, are you still happy with each one of the tenants the way that it was described back then, or do you feel like there could be a tweak here and there?
But yeah, it wasn't meant to be a complete work. It was meant to be tinkered with and added to and refined.
Good.
You know, if you're listening to this and you think, you know, maybe there should be some additions, you know, leave a comment. We'd love to hear what you guys think.
Where do they leave comments, Scott? And I'm actually asking this.
You're not being a jerk?
No, I'm not trying to set the listener up. I'm trying to figure out
there's lots of places, because we post this on social media. Got so it. They could comment on Facebook or Twitter, where we do that.
Okay.
They could also comment on our webpage where we post the podcast.
Got it. Okay.
Do you know what a webpage is? No. Do I need to explain what that is?
You don't need to do that, but you don't say where we post it, because obviously it's you posting this.
Yeah. I take care of all that stuff. Hey, Jimmy, thank you very much. This was a really good reflective moment, inspiring moment, because I think we can all look at these things and look at how we perform in each of these categories and make goals and be inspired to do better.
And I think the word respect does resonate throughout this entire Bushido list. And I think it really is important to carry that with us outside of just this list, but, you know, in our own trail lives and our own personal lives as well, respecting ourselves and others around us. I think it's good philosophical discussion here. Thanks, Jimmy.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on, as usual.
SoCalCoyotes.com is where you can go to get more information about the SoCal Coyotes. Coach Jimmy Dean, you can find him on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You still do Facebook?
I check them occasionally. I'd say that my social media has done what my running has done, which is it's far less frequent in the parenting realm. But no, I'm still there.
So let me ask you this, just one question, Jimmy. Do you check your social media or your voice mailbox more?
Neither.
All right. I love Jimmy's message. If you call him, hello, this is Jimmy. And so you start talking, and I'm not here. It's like, you got me again.
And then he says, do not leave a message, because it will not be returned. Send me a text. I love it. Hey, Jimmy, we enjoy talking to you. We are grateful that you're in the gym and getting fit. I think that if you start getting into this, if you get into the Leona Divide, I think you're going to find that your strength training has paid off.
Yeah, we will definitely test that theory, because it won't be on a lot of miles.
Some of my better races have been on few miles, because I'm so cautious. I know I better take care of myself, because if I break in the middle, I can't put myself back together. So I go out there like a piece of crystal. I've got to keep myself together, because there's no room for error. And sometimes those races, when you're careful, turn out better.
And Scotty, good luck in the race that you're not talking about.
I'm not talking about it. So go out and run.
Moss.